You're listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the UCB Long-Form Conversations podcast. From New York City, I'm Joey Price. I was the guest on a previous episode in New York, but today I'm the host, and my guest today is Maritza Montanez, who fans might know from Lloyd Knight, the team The Nightmare, former host of Kaleidoscope, and a whole slew of indie teams, most notably for me, Bear Golf. And welcome, Maritza.
Hi.
thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Excited to chat with you about
some
stuff. I guess kind of just like let's talk basic biography stuff first. Like, what got you interested in doing improv?
So I went to NYU for college, and I knew a couple of people in my creative writing classes and that lived in my dorm that did Hammer Cats. Mm-hmm. So they just were like promoting that a lot. And I auditioned for Hammer Cats my sophomore year, and like definitely was so far from getting on. but they mentioned to like everyone, if you didn't get on, don't like let that stop you. There's like UCB Theater, which is really great, and anyone can take classes. And I think I pocketed that away for like 3 years.
Okay.
but my senior year of college, I started taking classes for fun, basically. I was doing a lot of like creative writing stuff and like going through some stuff personally, and was like, I need something like fun and just really like no pressure to do. And so I wound up taking my first class then in like 2011. I'd registered for a sketch class a year before and withdrawn like 2 weeks in, which is so bad in retrospect. But I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. This will be no pressure. And just like slowly got into it over the course of like 101 and 201.
Great. Had you gone and seen shows prior to taking classes? And was there something about it that kind of drew you in?
Yeah. I think the first shows I saw, the first sketch show I saw was Veronica Osorio's First Woman on the Moon. Mm-hmm. And then I also saw Let's Have a Ball. And I loved them both a lot. I just like, First Woman on the Moon, I just thought was like so funny and fun. And she's like, it was impressive. It was like my first time seeing a one person show because I had avoided that a lot.
Yeah.
But then Let's Have a Ball, I just remember feeling like, I don't remember a lot of the scenes. I remember that Brandon Gardner was playing Anthony King's dad, and Anthony King was like a teenager who was caught masturbating.
Uh-huh.
and I don't remember all of the reactions and stuff, but I just remember being like, oh, this is just like acting. This is like good acting. And being drawn to that. I also like ran into Anthony King in Gristides after that show and didn't know, like, I think if I had known who he was relative to the theater, I would have been like intimidated, but I was like, oh, I saw your show. And I was like, oh, this is like a real person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. So I guess let's flash forward to Kaleidoscope. I'd like to talk about that a little
mm-hmm.
bit. I guess just, you know, your experience hosting Kaleidoscope and what you feel like you got most out of it and like what the most fun part was. I guess we should probably talk about what Kaleidoscope is to begin with. So if you wouldn't mind starting there, I guess.
Sure. So Kaleidoscope's a weekly improv show in New York City that's been running for, I think, now 7 years.
Yeah,
yeah. Alan Starzynski started it. And I think part of it was like it's a good show to like play with lots of different people with at. So the way it works, there's like a special guest monologist every week who just does stories sort of ASCAT style, but like very abbreviated. They do like a set of stories before each set. And each set is performed by a team that's put together for just that night. So like mashup teams led by like one person who chooses everyone on it. And the idea is that like that team should never perform together ever again. So it's like just a one-time special thing. And so it's been running for a long time. I teched the show for like 2.5 years before I started hosting. So it was kind of cool to like come into hosting being like, oh, I already feel really familiar with the show and have like performed at it and watched it hundreds of times or like over 100 times. And I think the thing I like about it, I really like performing with people I don't play with regularly. There's like, I like playing with people I play with regularly, obviously, too. But they're such different, they like satisfy different needs, I guess.
Yeah.
And I feel like performing with strangers is kind of fun because you don't go into it with a ton of expectations. It's sort of like, oh, okay, this person's really good. It'll be fun to play with them. And it's also nice to play with people who you like altogether don't know. I think that's like kind of a perk of the host's team.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone could do that, I think, but the host, I feel like part of doing the show is like, oh, you should bring new people into it and like should introduce new people into this community and stuff and use the show for that too. So a lot of the time it's like, oh, I'm going to play with like a person I'm coaching, like whose team I'm coaching. Or there have been a couple of times that it's been like complete strangers that are just like at the creek and are like, what is this? What is this? Is this a jam? What is this? Is this like stand up? And it's like, oh, if you want, you can play on the team and we can just like, you can see. And that's, it's just kind of like a fun challenge to be like, okay, we're going to play with someone completely new. I think it also like forces you to be really clear in your improv, which from like a technical standpoint, mm-hmm. I really like just like, oh, clear initiations, like worry less about making like a smooth, cool move.
Yeah.
And just making sure that like everyone knows what's going on. Which is, like, something I've been really preoccupied with in, like, the past year.
Sure. You have always struck me as a very patient improviser, and so I imagine that that ability comes out really well in a situation like that when you're kind of playing with people that you're not used to playing with. I think, like, patience and just, like, hard listening, which I think are attributes that you have a high level of, has to be a good thing to have there. I was just talking about this yesterday and like bringing up playing with new people, like how it's nice to, you know, practice and play with the same people. But like there's an element that we're like kind of session musicians a little bit, right? We're all professionals to an extent. And so like we're all good at this. And so playing with like people that you're not used to playing can be really exciting and like a fun way to try new stuff.
Yeah.
Was there stuff at Kaleidoscope that you would do, like mess around with any form stuff or anything like that? Or was it always pretty straightforward when you were the host?
I think it was usually pretty straightforward. I think almost every set that I see or do there is a montage.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're working off monologues, I think it's usually just like the easiest thing to do is like montage and try to squeeze in some callbacks. Over the course of that. Sometimes there have been times where I've, like, seen a set and been like, oh, that turned – I don't know if their intention was to do a slacker, but, like, that was a slacker.
Mm-hmm.
Or once – this was before I was hosting. I think when Reiko was hosting, there was a team that performed – I think it was, like, Gary Richardson, Katie Ruth Ashcraft, and a few other people had a set that – I think was a mono scene, unless I'm misremembering it. They did like a mono scene,
mm-hmm.
and it was like 4 people and did that and like squeezed a lot of the premises in. It was really fun. So I think, I don't know if that was their intention, but it's, I think when that happens accidentally at the show, it's really exciting because
yeah.
it's like, I think I have a soft spot for like that sort of like, oh, organically finding your form. I haven't gotten to do that sort of stuff a lot, but when you see it, it's really fun. And that happens occasionally there.
Sure, sure. I emailed with one or two people before the interview today, and a lot of people bring something up that I also agree with, is that you have a lot of empathy when you perform, and that's, like, both with characters that, like, we're used to seeing have empathy, but sometimes you'll also play, like, assholes, but, like, you find a way to breathe empathy into those characters. Is that something that you look for when you approach your scene work? Or is it just kind of like a natural thing that you just bring up?
I think I'm hoping it's becoming a natural thing. but I think that's definitely something I've tried to work on a lot. I half jokingly feel like I play low status a lot unintentionally, sometimes intentionally because I'm like, oh, this is fun. But I've also sometimes gotten the note where it's like, oh, that character started high status and was low status by the end of the scene. Mm-hmm. Almost always, anytime I start with high status, it's like, oh, this guy's going to be like real sad by the end. but I was like in a class once, like a 4-week class, maybe a year or two ago, with Shannon O'Neill, and it was just like we were doing long scenes, and one of her notes was like, okay, so you played an asshole, and that's great because you need to do that too, but like. An asshole's still a person. Mm-hmm. Like, this is still a person. They don't think that what they're doing, like, is wrong, especially if it's, like, their philosophy. Then they think what they're doing is right. So I try to remind – I think that's something where I have to, like, actively think about it sometimes during sets where I'm like, oh, this character's just a jerk. Okay.
Yeah.
What's, like, true about them, though? And, like, what do they actually think? And then I think some parts of it might be a little easier where it's like, oh, if something comes up in a scene where it's like, oh, we're really laying on someone. Like if it's like one of those group games where everyone's laying on one person, it's like, oh, this doesn't feel super great. Everything we said can still be true, but like what else is true?
Mm-hmm.
That makes us a little bit more human.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's an important question to ask ourselves when we're playing jerks.
Yeah.
And it's more fun to watch too if you can kind of get on the side of somebody,
yeah.
Even when they're behaving terribly. I think it's nice.
Yeah, it's fun to occasionally and like with fictional characters especially like root for the asshole a mm-hmm. little.
Yeah. So you just recently got on Lloyd Knight, what, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago or so?
Yeah.
So huge congrats.
Thank you.
Do you think that I guess so now you're on Lloyd Knight, you're doing the Pattern Game, you just spent, what, the last year or so hosting Kaleidoscope, and then prior to that as a tech of Kaleidoscope, so we're talking very premise-based stuff that you've been doing most mm-hmm. of the time. Are you drawn more to premise-based improv rather than kind of suggestion and go? And how did doing Kaleidoscope for so long help get you prepared for Lloyd Knight now?
Yeah. I think I am drawn to premise-based stuff. I don't think I think of myself as that. Like, I think especially the first year or two I was doing improv, I was like, oh – or maybe, like, first 3 years, I was like, oh, I prefer organic things. Mm-hmm. Like, I prefer if I go to Herald Night, I'd rather see a team that's doing something kind of organic. But in retrospect, I think I'm completely wrong. I think I still like that a lot. But I was like, oh, the stuff that I'm doing most often is premise-based, and I really like it. I think part of what I like is just that it's like, oh, you get to jump right in. I have a tendency sometimes, or I don't know if it's still true, but it's like a note that I got early on and that like stuck with me that was like, oh, you yes, but you don't and. Which, again, hopefully has changed. But it's like, I think that's something that sometimes will happen to me when I'm doing like warm-up scenes or like organic scenes where my second, like if I'm the person reacting, my second line is literally yeah or like yes and then just like a pause. And with premise-based, I think it like it's kind of empowering. Like it's like, oh, you already created something and it was with your team, so you trust the idea more. Like it's like if you're someone who's like a little nervous about your own ideas, I think premise-based is really nice because it's like, oh, I didn't just come up with this premise by myself. We came up with it, so it's good.
Yeah.
So I just need to play it. And I think with Kaleidoscope, I think that thing of, like, being super clear has been helpful. I don't always accomplish that, but it's, like, especially if it's, like, oh, I have a lot of people on my team who don't know each other. It's, like, oh, then we really need to – we can't just, like, count on us having the same, like, touchstones. So it's like, oh, I have to be super clear when I initiate and be like, who are we and what idea am I pulling from and get it out so that we can just start playing.
Did you see yourself improve at that over time by hosting Kaleidoscope and watching it a lot? Did you notice like an improvement at that ability?
I think so. I think it was partly within that, and then also with like classes and things, mm-hmm. I'd notice it in certain ones more. It's just like more comfort mm-hmm. initiating. I think I just think of it in terms of like, oh, how hard has improv been versus how easy is it? Because I'm like, oh, I think I have a hard time being like, oh, am I better at this than I was? So I'm like, okay, it's more consistently easy now.
That's, I think, the most important thing is like we're like good improvisers, like fair improvisers, good improvisers, and great improvisers probably have the same amount of like great moments. But I think like the best improvisers are just kind of consistent, can just like be consistently good like all the time. And I do think that's can be what sets people apart a little bit. And I've definitely seen like you are always good and like always do funny scenes and are a joy to watch. When you're in a scene, maybe at the top of a scene, what's something that like your scene partner that you've noticed people do that gets you excited about like the scene that you're about to do in some way? Mm-hmm. Is there anything kind of consistently that you're like, oh, I can't wait to do this? Like they did this thing and now I'm so excited to do that.
Yeah. I love when someone initiates with a big emotion, especially if it's like premise and you get like that big emotion. Because it's usually a little surprising. Like, mm-hmm. if you're just stepping out, I think my brain is like, okay, we're about to, like, figure this out. And then it's like, oh, this person's yelling and screaming and, like, doing this. It's like, oh, okay, great. I just have to react to them. So that's really fun. Like, just, like a big, big move mm-hmm. with an emotion behind it is really fun. I think I especially love if it's, like, if they're indignant and I have to justify whatever I do. Like, I love... I feel like I shouldn't, but I love, like, an accusation up mm-hmm. top where it's like, oh, they've accused me of something, and now I just have to justify it. Just because then it's like, oh, we're going to find whatever it is so fast now. I think I like that. I've even liked that, like, in exercises. Mm-hmm. Just that very basic exercise of, like, oh, accuse someone, accept it, and justify it, and now you just keep playing.
Yeah, that's a really great exercise in, like, looking at everything as a gift a little mm-hmm. bit too, I feel like. It's like even an accusation, it's best just to be like, oh, yeah, that is true about me. Yeah. Like you have something right there. And I think that's an important lesson. What about when you're like watching improv or coaching improv? What's kind of the stuff that like you find funny, I guess, mm-hmm. or the funniest things?
Yeah. You guys were talking about it yesterday with someone where I was like, actual premises by themselves don't super make me laugh. Like, I'm like, oh, it's funny, and that could be fun. But I think, like, the way that it gets executed is really exciting. There's, like, really, really basic, like, little just, like, staging things that I like. Like, I think I remember someone in a class asked Kate Riley once, like, or Kate Zielinski about, like, they're like, what do I do if I'm in my head? And she's like, oh, walk across the stage, which is, like, such a practical little thing.
Yeah.
But it, like, feels good to do it.
Yeah.
So I like... when someone moves deliberately on, like, in their space, I think when I'm, like, coaching a team and it's like, oh, they're doing these things, it just, like, inspires a little confidence, I think. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, they've got this part of it down and that feels really good. Like, I don't have to worry about being like, oh, remember to cheat out or, like.
Yeah.
But especially that where it's, like, a deliberate piece of blocking is really exciting. Especially when I'm coaching, like, big characters where it's like, oh, even if it's like, oh, we've got to remember to justify whatever is the deal with the character. I feel like it's so fun to watch people having fun with that. Especially if it's like a newer team and they're learning to play together. That's very exciting. And I think watching teams, I don't get to go to Herald Night as much as I'd like to.
Sure.
But when I go and it's like, I don't know, like when there's just like lots of surprises or little things where it's like I don't know if I have seen it super recently just because I haven't been going as much, but like where it's like, oh, the second beat's all turned into like 1 second beat bled mm-hmm. into the next mm-hmm. through like a tag out or something. That sort of just like letting the structure be a little bit softer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, that stuff excites me too, especially that kind of organic approach to the Herald. I think like it should be premise based, but like finding ways to bring in those kind of more nuanced or like artsy touches, I think can be really, really fun.
Yeah.
I guess switching gears slightly, what was your experience like in, I guess I'm mostly interested in hearing about like higher level classes and the indie scenes specifically as a woman of color and like, yeah, I just think I'd like to hear about that a little bit.
Yeah. I think, actually I think with like higher level classes and in the indie scene is where I started to feel better and like more empowered, I think. I think in the early levels, I was sort of like, oh, I don't really know anyone. I don't know anything. I'm just going to keep to – I'd, like, go to the jam and run straight home after. I lived, like, 5 blocks away. So sometimes I was, like, literally just like, I'm going to jog home. But I think – I don't know if it's just, like, timing, but I feel like I've – there was a little while I got very used to it. I was like, oh, so many of my friends in the indie scene are people of color. And that's – I think I got like a little bit in a bubble where I was like, oh, this is what it's like. This is so great. And then every once in a while I'd like go into like a class or something where I was like, oh, that's right. This isn't like this universally. Not every show is like very, very carefully curated to be like reflective of the community. So it was like back and forth, like very good sometimes where it's like, oh, people producing shows where they're being mindful of like being inclusive in their casting and also, like, even shows that are, like premised around something related to diversity or inclusivity. I think I personally haven't been doing that. I think with Kaleidoscope, I was like, oh, I have to prioritize that because that's important to me and I have this platform sort of to use that with. And I think in classes, especially at the higher level, it's been really – it's been overall really good where it's like, oh, okay, I feel like my teachers would call something out if it happened or like I can say something in some capacity. Thinking.
Were there moments in lower level classes that or maybe not even in classes, maybe just going to shows where – you felt differently than that or felt like, do I want to keep doing this? Did you ever have that because of those, you know, possibly non-inclusive issues?
Yeah, I think so. I actually – I know right now my brain – this is, I guess, actually – I was technically already in advanced study, but I was like a little – I still felt newer. I definitely have been to shows where I was like, oh – maybe like the hosting bit is premised around like a white person playing a person of color in a way where I was like, oh, the game is that that person is smart and that that's supposed to be surprising. And I think it just like it gets me mostly it's like, oh, this is getting me real in my head because now I'm like, oh, that's right. It's supposed to be unusual that I went to college. Like I'm like, I'm like, oh, if this person knew more about me, they'd be like, oh, are you a game? like you went to college. That's weird. especially, yeah, I think that, and I think part of it is also like the community I'm from, like I'm from California, from like a town that's like very like agricultural and like there's like a lot of farm labor. My parents did a lot of like hard labor. My mom works in a factory. So it's like, okay, coming from, like, being a person of color from a very different, like, class than a lot of people here where I'm like, oh, like, especially, like, the way that people will play, like, workers or something in a scene where I'm like, oh, it feels like we're, it makes me feel in my head about myself a little bit.
Yeah.
And it also, on, like, a game level, I'm like, that's not the game.
Right.
I'm like, that's not unusual. I definitely remember, like, in a class, not any specific thing anyone did, but like I remember Anthony Tamanik was a teacher and at some point he was like, oh, like this can't be the game. And he's like, I don't care if something's offensive because it's Anthony Tamanik.
Right.
He's like, I don't care if it's offensive. I just like this isn't unusual. People's identity by itself is just that's just like information.
Yeah.
That's like giving you context. But it's not – like, that can't be the game.
Right, absolutely.
Like, it's not playable. So I think I try to think of it, especially when coaching or something like that, I try to frame it in terms of, like, okay, as far as your performance and, like, how playable the scene – like, if you do this, it's going to make it very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the game. If you're trying to play someone's identity, like,
right.
especially something like gender or racial identity, it's like, oh, that's – not a funny thing in and of itself. You can play a character like that, but be mindful also of the fact that if you're doing that, you're probably like if I'm watching a show and some like a white person starts playing a person of color, and like they're clearly going for it, I definitely feel a little on edge,
mm-hmm.
and I know as an audience member that I'm like, oh, I'm part of me is already feeling a little less likely to laugh probably. So I try to communicate that
mm-hmm.
when I'm coaching, like make it frame it as like an easy hard thing again.
Yeah.
Versus like you're good or bad. Because I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna win anyone over with that.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like, sure, don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of it too does go back to empathy a little bit. I think
mm-hmm.
like if you can it's probably better just not to do it, but like sometimes you're gonna
yeah.
be in a situation where it's like, oh, I kinda like am endowed with this thing, so I might need to play it to my best ability. But like, yeah, I think if we can like just be mindful of like how we're approaching it. Like I've certainly had to like play a Jamaican character, right? And it's
mm-hmm.
like as long as I can just like give this guy empathy and like not make it that he sounds funny, like
right.
that's what the funny thing is. Hopefully I could do it okay, you know?
Yeah.
But even then, I'm always like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, and it's hard, too, because I feel like, especially when it's, like, a coaching situation or something, I'm like, okay, part of this is a taste thing, where it's like, how do I – this sounds very judgy. I wish I had a better way of phrasing it, but, like, how do I endow you with good taste? Because if it's not something that you're, like, acutely aware of in your day-to-day life, I think it makes sense that someone would be less less mindful of it. If they're like, oh, this could be funny. I see it on TV sometimes. Great. Versus like, oh, if you experience the other end of it like every day,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, yeah, you're more readily going to have like a bad taste in your mouth about
yeah.
it. So it's like how do you communicate that in a way that isn't judgy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Were there any moments in – kind of, I guess, seminal moments in classes that made you just kind of think like, oh, I'm like, I get this now, or I get this thing that I was struggling with. Even small things, not necessarily like, oh, I am, oh, now I'm good at improv. Not necessarily like
yeah.
that, but like any moments like that that you remember having?
Yeah. I feel like for early levels, I remember like, also in my 201, I was in Kate Zielinski's first class she taught, which is very exciting. She would often end class with like, oh, callbacks to like anything from class. And I think there was like one of those days where like we did that and someone like picked the character, like a character I had played. And I was like, oh, okay, this is like nerve wracking. But it was like, oh, this is like it turned into a tag run where it was just like, let's put this character in lots of different places. And I was like, oh, I get, like, analogous second beats now. Like, I was like, oh, I just have to think the same thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what the setting is. And that was exciting. I remember in 301, there was, I think the first day of class, before we even did any scenes, Anthony Tamanik was like, he said something along the lines of, like, talking about improv sort of from, like, a batting average perspective. Like, he was like, oh, you're going to have so many bad scenes.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I have bad scenes. I'm, like, on a terrific team, and I have really bad scenes all the time. And so, like, so don't be scared because, like, it's going to happen. And, like, the reverse of that is, like, oh, you're going to have some good scenes in there too.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that feeling freeing because I think I was very nervous, especially in 101 and 201, and would, like, I would speak as little as possible in class and step off the back line, like, very rarely. And I feel like that was sort of exciting. Like, it was like, oh, I'm going to be wrong. And he expects us to be wrong sometimes, or often. He expects us to mostly be wrong. So it's like, we can only go up. And that was kind of exciting. I feel like in recent classes there have just been like moments where I'm like, oh, like something clicks. I'm trying to think of like a good one. But there, a lot of the time it's just like a little conceptual thing mm-hmm. or like something I feel like I've forgotten. Or this isn't even a class thing. I think this is listening to the long form podcast maybe. I think on like the Catherine Mudon episode she talked about like maybe Bobby Moynihan or someone saying, I don't know if it was him, but she was like, oh, I had a teacher that described improv as like describing the wall behind the other person. Like it's two people standing in front of each other describing the wall behind each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I really like that because yeah. that's just like, oh, communicating and letting people know what they can't see. Like it felt like a framing thing. And mm-hmm. I think that like changed the way I've been thinking about improv for a little while.
Cool. You definitely have like a lot of patience. I play with a lot of patience in your scenes and hard listening and stuff. And you, in one email I got about you, somebody just said that like, you like kind of you'll wait maybe sometimes for like another character to like come in aggressively and do their thing and you'll just kind of like react and then at some point just kind of like say what your point of view is but kind of let it like let the scene simmer a little bit before doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you like deliberately do or anything like that you'd like to speak about?
Yeah, I think. It definitely isn't deliberate for that one. I think that one has been like – sometimes I'll like get a little frustrated with myself for doing that because I'm like, oh, are you contributing enough to the scene? But usually I'm like, okay, this is fun. And sometimes there is like this moment of like, oh, this seems like – it is that it's like simmering down a little. And it's like, well, I guess what is my character – like I'll just like have a moment where I'm like, wait, what do I think? Like this character's a person and not just like they're not just they don't just exist for this other character. And usually I think I don't remember if like a teacher I mean some teacher must have said this at some point but was like, oh, your character oh, my brain just like petered out. But like whatever you're actually thinking as a person is probably what your character is thinking. Like it's like okay to say what you're actually thinking. So a lot of the time it's like that just like filtered through whatever it is. So if they're like playing my mom, I'm not going to be like, oh, your character's making me angry. But like it's just like filtering whatever I'm actually thinking.
Yeah.
Especially if it is that thing of like a scene sort of like simmering a little and it's like, oh, we need something to just like fuel it a little.
Yeah. I do think and this is something I've only like remembered in the past week is like as the straight man in a scene when I am that, which I find myself playing a fair amount, like it's good to give myself something to mm-hmm. do still or some sort of point of view or anything like because you can like the baseline reality can be fun to play as well. It's not just the game that can be fun to play. Like we can have fun just living in the baseline reality.
Yeah.
So I think just as that I think you're good at like, oh, give myself something. And then like even if it's not that funny or the part of the game. It's just like something that I have mm-hmm. to give myself. I think can be nice. You've been on Lloyd Knight for just a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
What's it like being like on a brand new team like this? And what have you and the team like done to kind of like get acquainted with each other and just like ready to do shows pretty much immediately?
Yeah. I think it's been really good. I think there are, like, a few things that, like, factored into it being maybe in some ways easier than it can be for other people, which part of it is that they added two people to the team at once. So, like, Casey McCormick was also added, and we, like, emailed a little bit and have talked about it a couple times where we're like, oh, it's really nice that it's not one person uh-huh. just, like, not bearing the brunt. Because also you, like, it's such a cool thing to get to do, but, like, being like, oh, you're the new person. Like, it's like, oh, there's two of us.
Yeah.
There's, like, a good amount of fresh people to it. That's been really good. It's also nice. I feel like I knew, like, half the people on the team going into it. And they're all people where it's like, oh, they're all great. And I like watching them and I know who they are. And then the others that I didn't know, I was like, oh, I have either seen them and really liked like seeing them perform or just like have heard really good things. But I think we haven't yet had a practice with all 8 of us because a couple of people were like out of town. But the first practice was like running the gauntlet, mm-hmm. The thing of like, oh, one person get out and everyone will do a scene with you and we'll tag back in as the characters and you have to just match. I really liked that, especially a thing I had forgotten about with that exercise was the matching element of it. And I was like, oh, this is great because especially for me, I often play the same types of characters. Mm-hmm. So it was like, oh, now I get to see like what their fun comfort character is or like or just what they're playing and have to match it. And that's always really fun. I like that just because it's like, oh, matching is not – I don't want to say it's easy, but it's like – you're just making the other person's choice.
Yeah,
embodying the other person's choice, and it's like, great. So that was that. Like that first practice was so fun because it was just like lots of matchy stuff. It was like, oh, new people. That there's like that thing that I feel like a lot. I've heard a lot of like coaches and teachers say where it's like when you're playing with someone for the first time, a lot of the times the scenes are really hostile. Uh-huh. so I think the matching was really nice to like curb that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we haven't gotten to, like, hang out or anything yet. It's been, like, I think about 2 weeks, 2 and 3 weeks. But, like, I hung out after both our shows for a little bit and stuff like that. Yeah.
Great. You just had your last Kaleidoscope, right, this past week?
Just Monday.
I guess just, like, what was that like having that thing come to an end, at least as with you as the host? Obviously, it's not Kaleidoscope hasn't come to an end. But how has that transition been from finishing that to going to Lloyd Knight?
It's been good. I like gave myself a couple of weeks. We chose the host, the new host, Teo Yang, which is great. And then I like met with him and was like, okay, when do we want to do this? And I was kind of glad that I got, like, a couple of weeks left with it where mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, I get to, like, one. I was like, I'm going to try to play with people I've been wanting to play with for a while. And then it is weird. It, like, doesn't fully feel real. I think just because, like, I'm so used to, like, oh, Mondays I'm not free, mm-hmm. period. Where I was like, oh, I leave straight from work to there. So I'm usually there, like, 7 p.m. until, like, 10 p.m., so it's like 3 hours and then I go home. So I'm like, it's weird to think of those days being back. And I think I'm still kind of like, oh, I'm not going to be at the creek every week. But so it's like bittersweet where I'm like, oh, I really like doing this show. It was really fun. There are like ideas for it that I didn't get to do. I didn't do a lot of like themed ones. Mm-hmm. I think I did like one Kaleidoscope, mm-hmm. which is something that Reka came up with, which was like, okay, all women performers. There were like a few little ideas. Like I think Kim Parker was like, what if you had one that was all in Spanish? And I was like, oh, yeah, I've got to do that. Mm-hmm. I've got to give myself time to do it so that we can find enough people. and it's not just like the same few people on all the teams. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And just by virtue of, like, the way that the teams work, like, that probably won't happen.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of – I don't know if this is, like, comparing it to an improv scene too much, but I'm like, oh, I guess, like, better to have ended it before I ran out of ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Always edit early, right?
Yeah. Like, it was like, before you lose steam and get, like, grumpy about it.
No, that makes sense.
So that's nice.
What keeps you coming back to doing improv?
Yeah. I feel like the real simple answer is just like it's so fun. I've been writing fiction for a long time and mm-hmm. I'm like I've told myself that this year I was like gonna buckle down and make that a bigger focus than improv. And then I completely threw that out the window and was like, No, I'm still doing this. But I think it is that like it's so fun. Also, there's just, like, always someone else you want to play with, which I guess that's going to be a little different, too, now without Kaleidoscope, where I'm like, oh, fewer opportunities to sort of just play with completely new people. But I don't know. I think that higher level thing of just, like, oh, it's, like you're connecting with people, and that's really fun. Like I feel like improvising with people makes you like them, even if you like don't know them very well, or even if you're like, I had a weird encounter with this person. Like once you play with someone, it's like, oh, but no, now they're my friend. Like that's really nice. I do feel like it's like, I don't know. I don't know if this is like a keeps me coming back for it thing or just like a thing that made me like it so much. But I feel like doing improv has made me feel like a better sense of like who I am, mm-hmm. Which wasn't my intention going into it. But it was just like, oh, this gives me a better idea of like what I think is funny and what I think is important. Yeah, but it's so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that like that's a lesson that takes a little bit of time to learn is like, oh, I should do what I think is funny. Mm-hmm. Like that's like the best part of it. I have that ability to just be like, I think this is funny. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. And I guess this is sort of related to like surprises. I think that's a fun thing about improv where it's like, when you're all doing what you think is funny, I mean, obviously, like, also supporting each other's ideas, but, like, if you're playing with the same people consistently, that's an area where it's like, oh, you're going to get their surprises. They're going to do what they think is funny at different points. Like, you're all doing what you think is funny and supporting each other's ideas, so everyone's going to have their, like the moment where it's like, this scene is such a product of so-and-so's brain, but we all supported it, so it was great. But, like, and it was already great. It was great when they came up with the idea. But, like, I think, I'm trying to think of what I'm trying to articulate. But, like I've done that in practices where we had Matt Starr for a coach for a while for Beer Golf. And he's like, we're going to do everyone's dream show. And then he changed it halfway through. And so four people got to do their dream show. And the rest of us were like, he's like, you're going to do your TED Talk. Like, if you did a TED Talk, what would it be on? But, like, that practice I remember being so fun because it was like, oh, one person is saying what they want to happen. Like it's like this scene is going to be everyone is cats. Yeah. Or it's like, oh, real simple idea. Just like whatever that one person wants and you all find a way to support it, which is like what improv is. But like, yeah, I think that's a thing of like, oh, everyone has the things that they think are funny. And that includes you. Yeah. Like, which is really exciting.
Great. Is there anything that I missed that you'd like to discuss?
I don't think so.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That was a long-form conversation. Tune in next episode when Maritza will be your host. So that's all. Thank you to UCB Comedy and everybody for letting us have this chat. And, yeah, I think that's us signing off. Thanks, Maritza.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.